Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, September 17th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Lucy Spann. Thank you, Lucy, for joining today and for reading for us. After Lucy reads, we will have a time where she and I sit down together to talk about things of life and faith.
Thanks so much for having me. Our first reading is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. Every high priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins, as well as for the sins of the people. And no one takes this honor on himself, but he receives it when called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, Christ did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever, in the order of Melchizedek." During the day of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the ones who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son, though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And, once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Our next reading is from the book of Psalms, chapter 116. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I trusted in the Lord when I said, "I am greatly afflicted." In my alarm, I said, "Everyone is a liar." What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Truly, I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem, praise the Lord. A reading from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 42. Then the man led me northward into the outer court and brought me to the rooms opposite the temple courtyard and opposite the outer wall on the north side. The building whose door faced north was 100 cubits long and 50 cubits wide. both in the section 20 cubits from the inner court and in the section opposite the pavement of the outer court, gallery faced gallery at three levels. In front of the rooms was an inner passageway, 10 cubits wide and 100 cubits long. Their doors were on the north. Now the upper rooms were narrower, for the galleries took more space from them than from the rooms on the lower and middle floors of the building. The rooms on the top floor had no pillars, as the courts had, so they were smaller in floor space than those on the lower and middle floors. There was an outer wall parallel to the rooms and the outer court. It extended in front of the rooms for 50 cubits, while the row of rooms on the side next to the outer court was 50 cubits long, the row on the side nearest the sanctuary was 100 cubits long. The lower rooms had an entrance on the east side as one enters them from the outer court. On the south side, along the length of the wall of the outer court, adjoining the temple courtyard and opposite the outer wall, were rooms with a passageway in front of them. These were like the rooms on the north. They had the same length and width, with similar exits and dimensions. Similar to the doorways on the north were the doorways on the rooms of the south. There was a doorway at the beginning of the passageway that was parallel to the corresponding wall, extending eastward, by which one enters the rooms. Then he said to me, "The north and south rooms facing the temple courtyard are the priests' rooms, where the priests who approach the Lord will eat the most holy offerings. There they will put the most holy offerings, the grain offerings, the sin offerings, and the guilt offerings, for the place is holy. Once the priests enter the holy precincts, they are not to go into the outer court until they leave behind the garments in which they minister, for these are holy. They are to put on other clothes before they go near the places that are for the people." When he had finished measuring what was inside the temple area, he led me out by the east gate and measured the area all around. He measured the east side with the measuring rod. It was 500 cubits. He measured the north side. It was 500 cubits by the measuring rod. He measured the south side. It was 500 cubits by the measuring rod. Then he turned to the west side and measured. It was 500 cubits by the measuring rod. So he measured the area on all four sides. It had a wall around it, 500 cubits long and 500 cubits wide, to separate the holy from the common. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Lucy, for joining the podcast today. We want to hear a little bit about who you are and tell us about your family.
Thank you so much, Mary, for having me. I really appreciate being here. I'm Lucy, and I'm married to Stephen. We have been married 19 years, and we have four children. Our oldest, James, is 16, and then we have twins, Mary and Laura, who are 14, and our youngest is Margaret, who is 6 and will be 7 next month.
I want to hear a little bit more about each of your children. Tell me something that each of them is interested in.
Okay, well, James does a lot of Boy Scout stuff, and he really likes doing things outside, and he also likes building things. He also has the ability to put together almost anything that you want him to and to fix anything that there is. Mary and Laura both dance, and they also run cross country. Mary really likes tap dancing. That's kind of her special type. But they both also do hip hop, and they're just great girls. They're really kind to each other, and they have some great friends, and I always can count on them for being very helpful. Especially Laura likes to clean up a lot, which is really helpful to me as a mom. And then Margaret is just joyful. She is my sweet, happy ray of sunshine. Whenever anybody's in a bad mood, she can cheer us up. She's just always happy and always cheerful. She's a great friend to others. And sometimes I joke that she's kind of the glue that holds our family together, because she just keeps us happy and loving each other.
Tell me about your faith.
did you grow up in a Christian home, and did you have a moment where you came to faith, or was it more of a journey?
So I did grow up in a Christian home. I actually grew up going to St. Mary's. My family has been there, I think, since the church started. So it's, you know, we've still got some pretty deep connections there at St. Mary's. When I was 9 years old, I went to camp for the first time. And while at camp, I asked Jesus to be my savior. And I remember coming home from camp and in the car being so excited. I couldn't wait to tell my parents. And my mom, I mean, we talked about it in the car. And when we came home, my mom hugged me and said she was so excited that I had made that choice. And then really, my faith, you know, continued to grow. But when I met Stephen, when I was 18 years old, it took a whole new turn because he grew up in the Baptist church, and some things the Baptists are better at, such as Sunday school and teaching kids how to have quiet times. And he asked me when we first started dating, did I have regular quiet times? And I looked at him and said, well, I'm quiet. What do you mean? And he said, no, do you ever spend time daily with God? And I said, well, I pray. But I didn't know what a quiet time was. And he really taught me what it meant to have a quiet time and what it meant to have the daily Bible readings. And so I feel like starting as an 18-year-old and then going to college, I went to a place called Presbyterian College in Clinton, South Carolina, and I really grew a lot during my college years.
You mentioned growing up at St. Mary's, but now you're here at Mount Brook Baptist. Tell me what brought you and your family to Mount Brook Baptist.
So Stephen and I got married when he was in med school, and then we did residency, and then after residency, he got a job here. He works at UAB as a radiologist, and when we knew that we were going to stay here, we decided we needed to find a church that was our own church. I grew up going to St. Mary's, which I loved. He grew up in the Baptist church, and so for him, he really liked a lot of the things that the Baptist church does. He liked that they were kind of more independent. He liked that they teach well. They have great Sunday school lessons. They have great youth groups. And so we visited Mountain Brook Baptist. And it's funny because the day after we visited, somebody called me and said, what did you think of our church? And I said, it was fantastic. It's the most liturgical Baptist church I have ever been to. And I love it. And I think that the person on the other side of the phone was a little confused, but we fell in love with this church, and we love that we say the Apostles' Creed every week. We love that we say the Lord's Prayer together. We love that you have communion once a month in the contemporary service. And there are a lot of things that go back to my roots. I mean, even the colors, the liturgy, and a lot of things that really bring it home to me, but we still have the great, wonderful prayers that the Baptist church brings, and it's not all communal prayers. You know, it's really prayers from the heart, and the teachings are truly from the heart.
Is there a time in your life where you can look back and you can see how the Lord was at work?
The time that comes to mind immediately is when my precious Margaret fell in the lake. She was missing for about 2 minutes. We had no idea where she was. We kind of all scattered and looked. Our lake house is on a point, and so she could have been on either side. I ran one way. Stephen ran the other. He found her. She was under the water. She was completely blue and lifeless. He picked her up. He did CPR and brought her back to life. I was praying the entire time until we ended up going to call 911. We spent the night in the hospital, and she had a full recovery, thanks to God and thanks to her dad and his skills that he learned from medical school. But after that, I still was having a lot of trouble. I had a lot of fear. I had a lot of anger, and I had a lot of guilt. I felt like it was my fault that she had fallen in the water. I felt like I wasn't a good enough mom to watch her. And I was fearful that the rest of her life, I would not be the right mom for her. And so I, for a little bit, even had a hard time praying because I felt so guilty and mad at myself that I couldn't turn to God in prayer. And I told some of my closest friends and asked them to please pray for me, because I felt like what was going on in my heart was absolutely from Satan. I mean, it just wasn't normal. It wasn't right. It wasn't what I knew to be truth. And after about a week, I was holding Margaret and I just started crying. And I felt God say to me, I know the plans that I have for your child. I'm going to prosper her. I'm going to move her forward. And I love you. And I just cried and cried and felt God holding me and comforting me. And the psalm that we read today really brought me back to that minute, because in Psalm 116, verse 10 says, I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. And I felt that affliction. I felt that guilt. I felt that fear. But God loves me. And he brought me through that and reminded me over and over how great he is.
I want to hear a little bit about what you do professionally.
So I teach preschool at IPC. I first started working there when my twins were in the threes. And I started out in the nursery, actually, teaching in the nursery. And then I taught the top dogs. I have a degree in early childhood education, and I taught at Highlands before I had children. Then I went back and taught the five-year-olds at IPC. And then I started teaching something called Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, which is a Montessori approach to Christian education. And the way that works is we teach Bible stories through works. So for example, the story of the mustard seed. We have the child sitting on the floor and we say, do you know about a mustard seed? Let me read to you the story. And then we read the scripture. We keep it to 1 to 2 verses. And we say, God says the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Do you know how small that is? And we show them an individual mustard seed. We let it stick to their finger and they're tiny. And the kingdom of God then grows to be so big, such a large shrub that birds of the air can nest in its shade. And so we show them a picture of a large shrub that has birds in it. And you say to the children, how can it be that something this tiny can grow this large? And it's really great because we can wonder with the children. And that's another thing that Montessori said is you don't give them answers. You wonder with the children. And it is so great to be able to wonder with children about God, because we're all on our journey. Nobody knows what's going on. Nobody knows everything. Only God knows everything. And so we are the children of God, and we can sit there on the floor with these 3, 4, and 5-year-olds and wonder with him. So I teach that. And then, although it's not actually teaching, God teaches that through me. And then the other thing I do at IPC is PEP, which is physical education for preschoolers, which is kicking balls and playing and being active. And that's just really fun.
Thank you so much, Lucy, for that reminder that God is so big and none of us have all of the answers, but he is continuing to deposit these seeds in our lives, and hopefully they will grow and his kingdom will grow in us. Would you close our time together with prayer?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this time that we got to spend together. Thank you so much for these Bible readings. Thank you for everything in this world that you give us, for sunshine, for rain, for trees, for animals, and for people. Watch over us all. Help for us to all grow in your truth and in your wisdom, and to continue to be your children and to follow you, because you love us so much and we can love you and serve others through the gifts that you have given us. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.